Welcome, everyone. Happy New Year. It's Joanna, and I am so excited for our call today. The topic is one that I'm really fired up for, and I'm so excited to look at it. But before we jump into our training for the day, I want to get us grounded and just bring us all together. So let's take a moment, and wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes. And let the closing of your eyes be a marker, a ritual for yourself that indicates to your inner self that you intend to connect inwards, that you intend to devote the next hour to sacred space and development of yourself as facilitator, as priestess. And with your eyes closed, begin to attune to the earth that is beneath you, the ever-changing, ever-cycling Great Mother that is always there to lend the ground beneath you, that is always there to help you root and find your stability, that is always there to remind you of the importance of pausing and finding that stillness inside, that heartbeat that sustains you throughout the day. And as you also become conscious of your breath now, use the support of the ground beneath you and the rhythm and the life force of the breath to bring yourself fully present to this moment. To bring yourself to open up to be able to receive exactly what you need this morning. And from this place, put a hand on your heart, connect in with your heart, with your love, with all of those things that you are devoted to. And take a moment to be in gratitude for all that you hold with love in your heart. Take a moment to be in gratitude for all of the ways that love shows up in your life. Whether you earned more this month than last month, or created more this year than last year, or whatever it is, at the end of the day, the ways in which you love and are loved trump all of that. Together, we'll take a deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in and out. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Before we move into today's topic, I wanted to, especially because so many of us were out and away from the computer for a couple of weeks for the holidays and, you know, doing our thing, being with our kids, with our partner, you know, all the different stuff that we've been doing. I wanted to just take a couple of minutes, just a few, to hear from a couple of you on what's been happening around your dream work since our last call. So just to bring that thread into today's call, I know that as I've been talking to many of you or you've been emailing me, you've been telling me about dreams showing up really vibrantly, about tracking dreams, about things that you've noticed just about creating more time to honor sleep and rest and that vision time at night. And I'd love to hear one or two learnings or revelations that have come out of exploring your dreams over the last couple of weeks. Star 7. Nobody's got anything to say about tracking your dreams or what's come forward?
Hi, it's Perdiz.
Hi, Perdiz.
Hi. So I can just say that in the past few weeks, the dream stuff was more powerful around the time that we had the last conversation. Recently, the dreams have not been powerful, but I did get a lot out of our last call because it just so happened that I had this dream, for example, on a Monday where I got up, I was told you have to make bone broth. And I was like, what? So I went for the first, this is the first time I'm making it. I actually contacted Nicole, who was my roommate during our retreat, because she was telling me where she goes and gets her bones, her bone broth, and, you know, and I got her recipe. So I made it that day, and the amazing thing is that I think it was Wednesday, I got really sick. Like, it came like a tornado, and it was out of nowhere, and I was like, oh, that's why they wanted me to make the bone broth. And so I took the bone broth, and I imbibed it, quite a bit of it. And I would say by Thursday afternoon, I was fine again.
I love it. I love it. It's such a great example of the power of really connecting in with and honoring your dreams, right? It's like a week before it happened or however long your dreams were telling you need this in your freezer, you need this in your fridge, go and make it.
And you listened,
then it was there, total healing power. So beautiful. I'm so glad you shared that.
But now I want more dreams, because I wanted to share another thing with you really quickly. It wasn't me, but a girlfriend of mine called me up crying hysterically because, listen to this, she was given lottery numbers, and she didn't play them. And she found out that if she had played those numbers, she would have won $500 that she needed really badly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought to myself, so I told her, don't worry, you know, it was just a message and it's an opportunity for you. But I was thinking to myself, man, I want some numbers. I want more stuff coming my way. I want these dreams to really come in now. But I don't know what's happened the past 2 weeks. Maybe I've been sleeping a lot more. I've been resting a lot more. I've been reading a lot more during the holiday. I got sick. My son got sick. So now I'm glad you brought this up because I really would love the dreams to come back. Like the bone broth one, I'm very appreciative of. But yep. More would be great, too.
So you just what I would recommend is before going to bed at night, really asking for the dreams.
Okay.
Really setting the intention and asking for wisdom to come through.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, thank
good,
you.
Good, good, good. You're welcome. I'd love to hear one more share. What have you seen? What have you noticed? What's come through this month?
Joanna, it's Bryce.
Hi, Bryce.
What's come through has been incredible shifts, and I guess Cardi's even sort of alluded to it. What happens when we don't listen to the dream or when we do?
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself now going to bed earlier at night, like more to 11 o'clock instead of 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning,
mm-hmm.
which has really brought more dreams in vividly the way that I used to dream when I was younger and actually had totally forgotten about that.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love it. And the going to bed earlier really supports that. Good, good. Well, if you've been exploring your dreams over the last month, I highly recommend continuing with it. We're still in the dark time of the year. This is still that magical time where dreams come much more easily and much more readily. And I really would encourage you to continue with it. I don't know if I mentioned this last month, but the other time besides the winter when you really want to pay attention to dreams are during those Earth holiday times. So all of the solstices, all of the equinoxes, and then the cross-quarter days like the Beltane and the Candlemas, those 8 times a year are also times when your dreams will be more heightened and more magical.
Joanna,
mm-hmm.
This is Allison.
Hi.
Excuse me. I'm getting over being sick, so I'm a little raspy. Would you say that during the bleeding cycle is also powerful dream time
mm-hmm.
for women?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it varies woman to woman, and it has everything to do with your relationship to your cycle. So, like for you, Allison, I'd say for sure it would be because you've done so much work around your cycle and being in connection with your cycle. So because the bleeding is like that dark moon time, the dreams will come more then.
Thanks.
Awesome. So today's training is like a almost like a next step after the dream work, and what I'm calling it is the juicy journey to surrender. How to use the powerful tool of surrender for personal happiness and satisfaction, for being able to create ritual and curriculum in bigger, better, more authentic ways, how to use surrender in your facilitation skills, and then how to use it to really serve and support your clients. So first, let's just talk about what surrender is. And I would guess that most of the women on this call, at one time or other in your life, you've experienced either full surrender or at least partial surrender. Unfortunately, for most adult human beings, we're taught and it's drilled down into us from a very, very, very young age, whether we realize it or not, we're taught that surrender is bad. Surrender is negative. And I actually went to just, like, I looked up the definition of surrender in a couple of online dictionaries. And every single one of them, the very first definition of surrender had to do something with giving up to an enemy. So yielding to the possession of another person, yielding to the power of an enemy, giving oneself up to the police, abandon yourself, right? They were all real negative definitions. But of course, what we know about surrender is that that's not really what it is. So you've probably at one time or other in your life had the positive, powerful experience of surrendering. For example, surrendering to a beloved, right? When you fall in love with someone and just give yourself over to that. Or surrendering in a creative process. That's so much of what helps the juiciest creative projects, whether you're writing a book or creating a ritual or a dance or writing music or poetry or whatever it is surrendering, giving part of yourself up and over to something bigger than you are, or surrendering to a business idea or an idea to move across the country, even if it sounds on a thinking level crazy, or to surrender in a sexual experience so that you're fully present in that experience, or even surrendering to, like, when the airplane gets delayed by 5 hours in the airport, right? It's like when you don't surrender sometime to what's happening, you just end up fighting against it. It takes up a lot of energy. But when you can surrender to something fully, what that really means is that you're giving yourself up wholly, wholly meaning like as a whole, W-H-O-L, to something bigger than you. You're giving yourself up to be in the flow and in attunement to something much bigger than you are. You're moving beyond your personal likes and dislikes and mental ideas and preferences. You're moving beyond your mind and giving up your personal agenda in order to allow yourself to merge and to melt into a divine presence that is there in the moment, into something that is so much bigger than your ideas. Surrendering is about letting go and giving up control so that you can return home in order to connect with something that is so much bigger than just your mind. So let's pause here for a moment. And I want you to ask yourself first, when was there a moment in your life, in your business, whatever it's been, where you have surrendered in the ways that we're talking about so far today? And just take a moment and note for yourself a time where you've really allowed yourself to surrender. And what has been the impact and the result of that? Just make a note for yourself. We spend so much time in our businesses and in our relationships and in our lives and in our, you know, just all of the areas that we're in, sometimes even in our spiritual lives, trying so hard to grasp onto control, trying so hard to fit everything into our preconceived ideas and notions of how things are supposed to be. And when we do this, we miss out on a whole world of opportunity that life, you can call it life, you can call it spirit, or you can call it your inner wisdom or your higher power, is throwing up for you, right? We miss out on that when we remain tightly focused on our ideas. Now, you guys know, as someone who is a business mentor, I'm all about having ideas and plans and planning and blueprinting and all of that. It's not that those things, I'm discounting those things. They're all really vitally important to creating success. But what so often happens is that we make that the whole picture instead of allowing ourselves to give over to what life has waiting for us. And the more that you can learn to work both of those angles together, the mental functioning with the surrender, not only the more you're able to achieve, but the more connected you're going to feel to yourself, to others, to life, to spirit, the more your creativity is going to be able to come through, the more easeful you're going to be able to facilitate rituals, retreats, experiences. Because, as I'm sure you all know, we can go in and have a certain idea of what a specific ritual or a specific exercise is supposed to be, but there's just a bigger energy that wants to take over, right? Being able to surrender to what wants to happen is so valuable. And then being able to teach your clients how to navigate through life in this way will make whatever you're working with them on so much richer. So in a moment, I want to get into the mechanics of surrendering, and then from there take a look at how to apply this creatively to rituals and then with your clients. But before we look at all of that, I want to just pause here and see what's coming up for you so far. Why? How are you seeing this topic is important for you and your work? And what's coming through? What connections are you making so far? Star 7.
Hey, Joanna, it's Cindy.
Hi.
Hello. I love this topic because this is really what has allowed me to be able to move as far as I have just in my personal life and with coaching because I feel like I was, you know, what you were talking about is we were raised with that whole thing of surrender, and it was such a stronghold. And I'm one of, and I'm an Aquarius, and I'm all about flow and water, so it was very confusing and conflicting for me. And I think my challenge in this is to not flow too much, but to really integrate what you talked about is the planning and the allowing, because I can, it's easier for me to allow than plan. And that's something that has been coming up in the last year is I kind of went to the other direction when I let go of, you know, having to know, then it was almost like I'll just float and not really ground myself. So I appreciate, you know, what you're talking about in having a balance there between the planning and also the freedom to surrender. Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense. I'm so glad that you're bringing that forward because it is when we talk about surrender or the way I'm talking about it today, what I want for all of you is to be able to surrender fully and wholly, but also have that grounding beneath you. And so as we kind of break into the mechanics of this journey of surrender, I'm going to be giving some guidelines there. I'm not going to be talking about planning today, but it's so good for you and just for everyone on the call to know that there is that planning along with the framework and some guidelines that can allow you to not just surrender, but fully sink into it without getting lost in it.
Right.
Good.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Who else? What are you seeing so far?
Hi, it's Purdy.
Hi, Purdy.
I hesitated to speak up again because I didn't want to, you know, talk too much, but essentially, a couple of things come up when you talk about this. One, it reminds me of giving birth, having to surrender in that process. But also, it reminds me of how a lot of times I talk to my clients about having faith and trusting and how a lot of times life is like a treasure hunt where you may think that the answer is right ahead of you, like in front of you, but it actually may be a couple of steps before it blossoms. And a story that I like to tell, and I'll try to make this brief, is how I was looking for a place to get married. My mother, who's kind of intuitive, said to me, you should look in Santa Barbara because I wanted a beach wedding. So I didn't understand why Santa Barbara because I had no interest, really. And then I actually, before I actually started doing this work, I was still a lawyer, I consulted a psychic, and she said to me, you should look at Santa Barbara. So we went to Santa Barbara. I didn't like what I saw. I wasn't into it. I still was wondering why I was here, but I had convinced my father and my husband that I'd wanted to do it because I trusted. I just had a feeling if two people were telling me this and they're both kind of witchy, I needed to pay attention. So what happened was the space that they had offered to rent us was normally, let's say, like $60,000. They were willing to give us for half. And the place that I wanted to get married was a competitor, and it was in Laguna Niguel. So I was so sad because we couldn't afford the one in Laguna Niguel because it was really expensive, but yet the one in Santa Barbara, they were offering me a deal that was 50% off, but I didn't like it. So my father said to me, get the deal in writing from Santa Barbara, show it to them in Laguna Niguel, and ask them if they'll be willing to match it. And they did. And that's how I got my wedding the way and the place that I wanted. It was because I was willing to surrender and trust and drag my father and my husband-to-be to Santa Barbara.
I love it. Beautiful. Yeah. So
yeah.
Such a great example.
You can't always do that, but that's
yep.
And I find that life is like a treasure hunt. You know, it's like yep. Sometimes it's a couple of steps.
Yep. Beautiful, beautiful, good. So it's such a great example, right? And we can apply that in so many other areas. So let me take you through the way I see it is there's four pieces that you want to put in place in order to allow yourself to live life in this way of having this greater connection to a bigger flow and moving with that. So the first piece is about openness. And when I say openness, what I mean is the experience of softening that energetic armor that most adults walk around with. Right? We're all in one way or another, it's like there's this armor, there's this block to being fully open. But that true openness is about softening that armor so that you can step fully into receiving, right? Receiving wisdom, receiving abundance, receiving gifts, receiving love, receiving blessings, receiving signs. So the first thing that you want to really work on is how open are you in your everyday life? How open, literally, your body, and then with that, your soul, your energy, your mind, all of this, is there? I recently read this book by Tosha Silver called Outrageous Openness, and it's just all of these little stories about just being open to what's available, right? So I want you to take a moment and just ask yourself, as you move through your life and you move through your business, how much armor is there and how much openness is there? And if there is that armor, that energetic armor that's shutting out just this being open and, in, you know, to all of these things, why is that armor there? And then, what can you do to allow yourself to be more open in order to receive wisdom, to receive signs, to receive blessings, to receive gifts? And when you're working with your clients, how can you tell if they are open or not? How can you tell if they're open or not? After allowing yourself to open up, to soften some of that energetic armor, and I say that most adults have because if you look at a kid, most little babies, toddlers, they're totally open, right? They haven't yet sort of received these blocks or these needs to be in control of everything or this fear of what's out there. And you can just see even by the way little ones hold their bodies, right? I see this so much with Yael. You know, she's somewhat new to walking, and how when she walks, her body is so completely open. Yeah, some of the closing just comes from gravity over time. And that's actually another factor in this. But there's this curiosity, there's this openness to the world, there's this ability to receive and to see. So after the openness, the next piece is around intuition. So once you're open to receive this wisdom, to receive these signs, to receive this, you know, all of these things, then you want to utilize that openness in order to deeply perceive beyond your mind and with all five senses. So you're opening up in order to receive, and then you're using your intuition to perceive what you receive with all five senses. The next element is around trust. So when you're able to be open and when you're able to use your intuition and perceive beyond your mind, that's when you can trust that there's something, whether within you, if it's your inner wisdom, or bigger than you, like spirit, that is trustworthy and has your back. That is wise and knowing and has your back. And once you do that, then you're able to let go into the surrender. So, again, the moving from being open to be able to receive, to then take in the information that you're receiving, to then trust that information is true and that there's an intelligence to that information, that it's okay to be led by that information, can allow you then to open up and let go and be led by this idea, by this impulse towards the, you know, whatever it is that you're surrendering to. So as you kind of scan your life and business now and over the last 6 months, where are the places or the ideas that you've either closed off, and where are the ones that you've opened up to and surrendered to, and why? So just take a moment to kind of assess the ways in which you've surrendered or not surrendered, and why. And make sure to look at your creative process. So if you've been writing or creating art, whatever creation you've been in, has there been some of this openness, intuition, trust, surrender happening? And, you know, what has that looked like for you? Also, take a look at where you've been blocked in terms of your creativity and in terms of facilitating. And take yourself through those four pieces, being open, using your intuition, trusting, and surrendering, and see how it's related or not. So what are you seeing?
It's Paradise again.
Let me hold on a second, Paradise. I want to just see, you know, who
I'm
else
cringing.
Is out
there.
No, don't cringe. It's all good. But give me 1 second, Paradise, because this is a topic that is, in some ways, it's so big, and it's not, it's like, it's hard. Because it's about moving beyond your mind, it's hard to wrap your brain around. So I want to just give a little space for what people are sinking into. So what are you seeing? And I'll come
totally
back.
I totally get it. And plus, this is my world in a way, so it's easier.
Yeah, I know. You're very comfortable here. I know.
Yeah. I get it.
So what are you guys seeing, or where are you struggling with this?
So, Anna?
Mm-hmm.
It's Fran.
Hi.
I'm seeing a couple of things for myself. One, when it comes to my creative process and like creation and my business, I have been allowing myself to be more open and for my intuition to come through, but I haven't really given myself the time to, I haven't given myself the time to then follow that further and create. It's been very exciting to feel my inspirations and to feel my intuition and have moments of clarity. And I do trust what's coming through, but I clearly am not, I haven't been prioritizing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why do you think you haven't?
I'm not sure. I know that I value, I mean, in terms of like if I actually look at and assess where I spend my energy and my time, it's clear to me that I am valuing my time one-on-one with clients more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, one of the dreams that I had had since our last group call, it was some sort of conference or something that I was at with, and there were some people in the Pilates field there, and I was, I don't know how it came about, but I was talking with some people and I was sharing with them like how I was modeling my business, and I was feeling really excited as I was sharing with them I felt like I was lifting the veils and showing them that there's a whole other way that things can be and that can be really supportive to us as individuals, as a, you know, as a independent business owner, and that how this work could really support others, other teachers. And then if they were to do this in this model. And then somebody, I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody who I highly respected, who was kind of like an elder to me, said to me that, but you're not able to reach as many women. And because if I'm doing everything one-on-one. And that, and she's, I can't remember what else it was, but I really clearly got after that dream that I was, that I'm meant to be expanding the, whatever the platform or mode of sharing information, to be able to reach more than the women I can one by one.
Yeah. So what I'm really hearing, Fran, is like, is, you know, there's the openness, there's the intuition, but now it's about trusting that this is one of the directions to go into and creating some more space for it.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between receiving intuition and then really trusting it, right? That's why I kind of pulled that out as a separate piece, because mm-hmm. we can see the sign, be open to the signs, and then perceive the sign, understand the signs, but then trusting them on the road to, like, really then surrendering to them, you know, that's a piece that's often really hard, and that's where I think your edge is right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm almost also seeing that the surrender piece then is actually around space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Just create the for you, the next step, like the next step in the surrender journey is being willing to create space for the creativity. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else? What are you seeing?
Joanna?
I can't. I hear someone, but I can't hear them very well.
How about this?
That's a little better. Is that Nicole?
Yes.
Hi. Just talk loud.
Okay. I'm outside near the river. So. I think where I'm at in surrendering in the process is I feel really supported by the universe and life and time. And what happens is I get really excited and I am having to work really hard at anchoring myself over and over.
You're having to work really hard at what? I'm having trouble hearing you.
Anchoring?
Mm-hmm.
Because I get taken away with the excitement and light. And
yeah, so that's so similar to what Cindy brought up before. And I think what allows, again, like what makes for the best kind of surrendering and allows us to give ourselves fully over is to also know that there's a plan. So if I'm understanding what you're saying the right way, it's a little hard to hear you, Nicole. What I'm really hearing is that the more that you can have a plan, the more deeply you're going to be able to surrender and not feel like you're just floating out in the middle of nowhere, but feel like you're actually held through the surrendering. Does that resonate for you?
I'm sorry, my connection's not that great.
Okay.
So
you know what? Maybe we should do this over Facebook because I'm having so much trouble hearing you.
Okay. Sorry. Next time.
Did you hear what I said?
It went out, but I'll listen
okay.
to the recording.
Okay. You can follow up.
Yes.
I want to hear one more share and then go into
this
some
is
more
Inval.
Applications. Hi, Inval.
Hi. So I'm trying to think in this, you know, it helps to hear from Fran and Nicole. And at first I felt that my struggle was like being disconnected. And now I'm thinking that maybe it's that I don't have enough of a plan, so I feel like really untethered. And I know one of the things that for sure blocks me is being such a perfectionist, that it's like even when stuff comes in, it's not that I don't trust it, but I wonder whether I even allow it to come in or give it like enough importance.
Yeah, I agree with that, Imbal. I don't think it's that you don't have enough of a plan. I think you're all planned up. I truly don't think that's what it is. I really feel for you. It's about that unwillingness to let go of control because of the perfection.
I mean, to the point that, like, I won't even allow myself to get into a creative process.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I was going to just use a surrendering to a creative process as an example. So anyone that has ever surrendered fully to a creative process knows that it's messy, knows that it is so imperfect, and knows that you have to give up control in order for something bigger to come through you. After that bigger thing comes through you, then you can take all the messiness and the imperfection and then organize it more. Or, you know, if it's writing, then you can edit it. If it's dancing, then you can, you know, use what you know about choreography and put it on top of it, right? But that surrendering in the creative process is about being willing for it to not be perfect and to let go of the control, and that's your edge right now.
The letting go of control.
Mhm.
And well, you know, in any process, in anything actually.
Mhm.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. So let's move into just a little bit around. I'm sure just this exploration for yourself is allowing you to see how this can be applied to your clients, but let's spend a couple of minutes just looking at your clients. So when you take a look at the people that you work with or the groups that you facilitate, and you take a look at your ideal client, typically, what are the blocks that you see to surrendering for them? Or even before we ask that question, in what areas would it benefit your clients to surrender more? In what areas would it benefit your clients to surrender more? And then the second question from there is, what are the typical blocks that you see to that surrendering? So because we have just a couple of minutes, I want to share a couple of pieces, and I know that we'll continue with the exploration. So first, when it comes to ritual, there are a couple of advanced ritual techniques, and I'll, you know, eventually teach those in retreats, to really help people open up to be able to surrender. When you're working one-on-one with your clients, I know that each of you are already doing this. I want you to take a moment and pinpoint for yourself, how are you helping your clients to open up more, right? If we just look at those four principles, how are you helping your clients to use that openness to access their intuition? How are you helping them to trust? And then when are the places that it's appropriate you're helping them to surrender? What are you doing? I want you to break it down into how you're, what you're actually doing for them in those ways. So for example, one thing that comes up sometimes when I'm working with a client is supporting them into surrendering to really taking time off in a really big way. It's like there's all of this control and all of this planning and things happening, but there's something that's so much bigger than the client that's clearly asking the client to take time off, to take time to nurture. But there's such a block in being able to surrender to that, right? So when that happens, I'm working to help my client open up, to receive the wisdom, to perceive the intuition, to trust the intuition that she is receiving, and then to surrender into it. Or for me, another thing that oftentimes comes up is there's a business that's been built and has been one particular kind of brand, but it's really time, if the client were really surrendering, it's really time to shift that branding and to maybe even shift up so many of the offerings, right? But there's such a block to doing that. There's such a need to control what's happening or a holding on, right? So to go through those four steps of really opening up to that feminine art of receiving, just to be open to what the new ideas are. And then from there to step into the intuition and to begin to perceive through the openness that's coming in. And then to trust that this new branding or these new offerings are the right direction to go in. And then finally, to surrender to it. Now, surrendering to it doesn't always or most of the time necessarily mean, you know, we tend to think of surrender as like, okay, get rid of the entire old business and just step into the new one. Most of the time, the surrendering is more of a transition process, step by step, right? That's where the earthiness comes in. That's where the planning comes in. That's where the framework part comes in. But this process actually needs to be broken down so that the client can go in the direction that life is asking her to go in. So what are for your clients, how does this show up? So I know that we're at time. I want to honor that and just close with any last thought or two that's coming up for now. And, of course, we can continue the conversation online. All right, then. I am sending you all a big hug and thinking about you, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.